Thanks for joining us for another episode of Fraud Talk. I'm Mandy Moody, the social media specialist here at the ACFE and one of the producers of our monthly podcast. I recently caught up with Ryan Hubbs at the CFE exam review course in Houston, Texas. Ryan is a CFE, CIA, and the forensic audit manager at Halliburton. We spent some time chatting about some of the topics he will be speaking on at the upcoming ACFE Global Fraud Conference in Las Vegas this June. Ryan, you will be leading a breakout session called Tools of the Fraudsters, What You Don't Know Can Hurt You. What are some of the things that fraud investigators may not know that could potentially hurt them?
Technology is moving so fast with regards to the internet and how fraudsters use different tools and websites and information that it's kind of hard for fraud examiners and anti-fraud professionals to keep up. So this is going to be a 1.5 hour awareness session of all the tools that I'm able to find and be able to fit into a 1.5 hour block on the different websites and videos out there that fraudsters can use. So there's videos on the internet that teach people step by step how to wash checks. There's other websites that are available for expense account fraud. They'll give you fake receipts. They'll give you programs that help generate fake invoices. And expense account fraud is, according to a report to The Nation, is huge. It's like the top two, top three type fraud scheme. There's so much information out there. And this session is just going to help bring some of that to light and give some of the participants just some insight of what's out there and how these fraudsters are learning how to commit their fraud schemes.
What about for someone who is still a little scared or intimidated by the enormity of the internet? What advice do you have for them?
Anybody who is involved in looking for, detecting, or preventing fraud, for that matter, you have to spend some time on the internet getting past the Googles and the Yahoos, really getting down deeper to what are those websites that really help fraudsters commit fraud. There are a lot of them out there. And we could probably put on a week-long course of just highlighting all the sites, and we still probably wouldn't scratch the surface. The best thing, though, about going to this session, Tools of the Fraudster, or spending time on the internet, is the more you learn about how fraudsters are committing fraud and what tools they're using, it's going to make you a better investigator. It's going to make you a better auditor, because then when you see documentation, you're going to be skeptical. Is that real supporting documentation from our hotel? Or is that one of those hotel sites that give free hotel, you know, folios? Or that credit card receipt that looks kind of funny? You know, the tax rate on the receipt isn't the tax rate for a Las Vegas or a San Diego. And so could that receipt have come from one of these websites? It makes you a better, in my opinion, a better anti-fraud professional, a better fraud investigator, because you become more skeptical and you're more critical of the information and the tools that you're looking at.
What are some takeaways attendees will be able to immediately implement when they get back into their roles?
The immediate takeaway is going to be the awareness of what's out there. I mean, that's really what this presentation is designed to do. There'll be some websites that they can go and look at and maybe incorporate as part of their investigations and their audits and say, okay, if we see this type of documentation, let's go to this website and see if could it have come from here. There's other websites that we're going to highlight and tools that we're going to highlight that maybe they can take that information, go back and show their management and say, hey, these websites are allowing people to do this particular fraud scheme. One example is a website that gives completely fake background, educational and professional backgrounds for individuals. You pay a service and they'll completely mock up a new website. They'll give you fake phone numbers, basically create a fake identity. And that can really be used in covering up past criminal activity, or if someone wants to engage in industrial espionage or corporate espionage, they can create this fake identity with phone operators that will answer the phone. And so if you know that stuff's out there, you can take that, go back and work with your management, work with your HR, and work with the other audit security within your corporation. Say, these services exist. These are how some of these fraudsters are getting into organizations. How can we help prevent that, or what are some steps we can put in place to combat that? So I really like this presentation. It's a lot of fun, but at the same time, it's a learning presentation. You can really see, my gosh, look what's out on the internet. It's more than just the normal sites that we go to, our news and our email.
That is just crazy to me. Are these sites that you just pay a fee and you can get any information you need?
There's another website that I found the other day, which is for about $30 to $40. It's a reverse Social Security lookup. So just like a reverse phone lookup, you put in a phone number and you do it and you get the report of who the person is, this is a reverse social security number lookup. So I can make up a social security number that probably belongs to somebody, pay my $30, hit send. The next day I get my report and it tells me everything about that person, their addresses, their property, their parents, their siblings, everything connected with them. Now I have a social security number that I pulled out of thin air and a full profile of date of birth of the individual that I want to commit identity theft against. I found one site, there's multiple sites that are out there.
Sounds like a good session. Let's talk about the other session now, the one you're co-presenting with Alton Sizemore. It is a post-conference session on auditing and investigating. What are you hoping to convey in this longer two-day seminar?
The auditing and investigating post-conference at the annual Global Fraud Conference is a great two-day, 16-hour CPE course. It's great for beginning auditors and investigators, anti-fraud professionals, and for seasoned auditors and professionals to come back and listen, go through the auditing and investigating steps. We start from the beginning and work our way to the end of the process. We look at, you know, how are you going to gather public records, how you should conduct interviews of suspects and witnesses, you know, what type of analytical test do you want to run when you're looking for data and you're trying to identify fraud. We're going to talk about different types of fraud schemes. It's a great two-day 16-hour CPE course, and you'll always learn something. When I was an attendee many years ago, I went to several post-conferences and always learned something new or remembered something that I'd forgotten. And usually there's 300, 400, 500 people at the post-conference, and it's a great, the body of knowledge of people that are there are able to share their experiences, provide input, there's additional communication, discussion, and all about auditing topics, investigation topics, and it's really a great two-day post-conference.
The pre- and post-conferences at the annual conference are noticeably longer and more in-depth than the shorter breakout sessions. What do you see as a benefit of attending one of these longer sessions?
The main conference gives you the opportunity to go to a lot of different speakers, learn a lot of different topics in a fairly short period of time. The pre-conference and the post-conference, which is what I'm teaching, is really gives you a good 2 days to interface with the instructors, ask questions. Well, you can ask questions in the main conference presentations, but after an hour and a half, you're done and you're moving on to the next one. You can ask questions, you can learn from the attendees, and we really get down into more details of the how-tos of, you know, how do you gather those public records and the do's and don'ts with regards to interviewing people and the different type of fraud schemes and how do you put the report together? How should it look? What should you include? What should you keep out? Legal considerations. So we go through a lot of pieces and parts of the, from beginning to end basically, over a two-day period of how to conduct a good audit that's looking for fraud and how to look at investigation steps. And the pitfalls and the pluses, the minuses, it's a really good two-day, 16-hour CPE course.
Some sessions at the conference are designed for specific job functions or career tracks. Who would you recommend attend the auditing and investigating seminar?
The post-conference is great for really anybody at any level of their career. I've met people that have done investigations and auditing for 30 years. It's their first conference. They've come into the post-conference and they've learned stuff that they've never even heard before. And they said they're going to take that information back and go right back to their organizations and implement some things. I've met people that have come to the post-conference on a reoccurring basis every other year. They like to come so that they can refresh their memory. Because, be honest, we do our 30, 40 hours of training a year and we go back and we have a 3 feet worth of paperwork, and we work, and the only chance we have maybe is to come to the conference. So it's a good refresher, and it's great for people just starting out. Okay, you've just got to become a CFE, or you want to become a CFE, you're a few years into the profession, and you want to learn more about the auditing process with regards to fraud and the investigation process with regards to fraud. This is a great 2 day that really builds on the conference and continues your learning through that process to really get a good grasp of what you should be looking for when you're conducting fraud audits and fraud investigations.
You mentioned that as anti-fraud professionals, we get caught up in how busy we are during the year and that we need to take a break, step out of the office, get out of the routine, and take some time to network and get new ideas. Why do you think the ACFE Global Fraud Conference is such a good place to do that?
There's a lot of benefits to going to the annual Global Fraud Conference. The first is the quality of the training. there's a lot of different presenters from a lot of different fields. You have federal law enforcement, you have big companies, small companies, private practices, you have external consultants, everyone that is doing different pieces and parts in the fraud investigation, the anti-fraud field. They come together and they share that information. It's really key and critical that as an anti-fraud professional, you have to stay up on information and technology. You have to nowadays. You can't go to a training class and then spend 2 or 3 years and not go to another one. The information is changing so fast. The fraudsters have the upper hand in many instances. We're kind of playing catch up. So you gotta stay on the cusp of what's going on, how are they committing new fraud schemes, what's the new laws and regulations, you know, what can you do, what can't you do, new technology that's available to do, you know, detailed forensic analysis or interviewing techniques or, I mean, so you have to go to the conference to stay up to date with the new stuff. It also helps refresh your memory. There are some presenters that I listen to them every year, and if they're doing the same type of presentation, I go and listen to them again because they help reinforce what you're supposed to be doing or what you should be doing or what you can be doing as an anti-fraud professional. So taking time out of your schedule to go to the conference, try to get away from work as much as possible. We're all connected some way, shape, or form, so it's somewhat difficult. But get out of the office, immerse yourself in anti-fraud education, making good contacts at the conferences because networking is key. You know, very seldom does fraud stay in a single spot. You know, fraud crosses all industries, all spectrums, government, local, state. And so you need partners. You need to be able to know who to call to ask for help. And the ACFE conference, the annual global fraud conference, is great. It's a great tool for that. You meet so many people. You exchange. Make sure you bring a lot of business cards because there's a lot of opportunity to network. And so you build on the training. You make the contacts. And then when you get back to the office place and you have a chance to reevaluate what you're doing with your organization, you can draw on some of that knowledge you've learned from the conference. You have contacts that now you can ask questions about that material. I don't know a presenter that doesn't share their contact information and who doesn't communicate with the attendees after the fact. So you have a direct line with somebody who may be an expert and you can reach out to them. So the conference itself it's from beginning to end, provides great educational opportunities, varied educational opportunities. You can kind of pick and choose what suits you, but also great networking opportunities because the networking doesn't stop when you leave the conference. You build on those networks. You reach out to those individuals when you get into that tough case, that tough fraud case or legal case that you need some help on, and you've made those contacts already. I loved going to the conference. I've been going every year for the last 10 years. Great people, great training, great networking opportunities, and it's definitely a must-see, must-attend event.
What's your favorite part about the conference?
What's my favorite part of the annual Global Fraud Conference? It's got to be the networking reception on Tuesday night. That's where you get a chance to meet a lot of people in a lot of different areas and venues, and exchange business cards with them, talk to them. You'll identify people that are in the same career field or might be in a field where you need some help on a recent case or a current case, and it's great. It's a good opportunity to meet all sorts of different individuals. Networking is probably just as important at the annual conference as the training opportunities. Training will get you a long way when you get back to the workplace. The networking opportunities, though, are going to be lifelong. It may not be 6 months out, it may not be a year out, but at some time in the future, you may need somebody that you've met at the annual conference. And if you've exchanged that information and you've maintained that contact over years, I don't know a CFE that has ever told someone, no, I won't take a phone call. That's the other great thing. You're part of the ACFE, then you're part of a global network, 65,000 members. I don't know anybody that would not take a call from somebody saying, hey, I'm a fellow associate member, I'm a fellow certified fraud examiner, and I have some questions. Can you take my call or respond to an email? I've done it several times. I know a lot of other people do it. So that's part of the greatness of the ACFE organization, which leads back into the networking night, which is what I believe is the most valuable piece of the conference itself.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready to head to Vegas. On that note, we want to say thank you to Ryan for his time and his exclusive look into a couple of the events coming up at the ACFE Global Fraud Conference this June in Las Vegas. You can find out more by visiting fraudconference.com and taking a look at the full conference agenda. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next month.